Good morning, everybody. I'm very excited to see all of you. Hope you're excited to be here today, and hopefully this message really strikes a chord with you. So, well, let's pray to get started. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for Jesus and what he has accomplished for us on the cross. We thank you for every good gift, whether it's our friends, our family, the jobs that we have, our spouses, our homes. Lord, we have been given so much. We just want to say thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you would allow each one of us to make, space in our heart for your word, for your truth, and that, Lord, just now, if there's something lingering, some distraction, some concern that would distract us or keep us from receiving what you have for us, please, by your grace, allow that thing to just recede to the back of our mind so we can give you our full attention. Bring glory to yourself, Lord, in the preaching and the application of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How many of you, are you guys familiar with Dave Ramsey? You know who he is? Okay. Well, if you're lucky, because, in August we preached a sermon series called Money Matters, and we dealt with financial peace and debt and things of that nature. But anyway, when we went through that in the financial peace plan, there's a baby step two. It's called the debt snowball. And if you know anything about Dave Ramsey, or if you were here, you know that we should do everything in our power to get rid of debt or not to go into debt at all. Well, this week, when I was studying for the passage, I discovered that the Bible says there's a type of debt that is okay. Yay, everybody clap your hands. There's a yay. All right, yes. All right, it's just not the kind of debt that you have. But anyway, do you want to know what it is? You're going to have to wait. I'm sorry. I did not cue the person properly. So let me ask you a question. It's like, what is going on here? So let me ask you a question. How much would you spend on Christmas this year if Jesus gave you his personal credit card to use? Just imagine how much you would spend.
Was the night before Black Friday, but all through the house. Not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The coupons were stacked by their purse with care in hopes that St. Walmart soon would be there. The children were nestled, all snug in their beds, while visions of iPods, iPhones, and Xboxes danced in their heads. Later that night, just as the clock struck 12, an angel of the Lord appeared. It seemed like a dream as he said, "Take this card. Use it wherever Visa and MasterCard are accepted."
And so you wake up, and this is a real dream that you had. So you wake up the next morning and you discover that actually it was not a dream. That you have this card, and on the front it actually says Jesus Messiah on it. And that's great. So in the background there's this glory, hallelujah, hallelujah. Anyway, so as you're looking at this card, you're imagining all the things you can do for it, and then you turn it over and you look at the signature line, and it says, "Ask for ID." So it's probably not going to help you a whole lot. Okay, anyway. All right. I know, it didn't go well. Anyway. Now listen, if an actual card existed, no credit limit, and the bill never came due, how much would you spend? And who would you buy for? Now I assume that you'd buy gifts for your entire family, naturally, including maybe even your crazy uncle. You'd probably buy for your neighbors, your coworkers, kids' teachers, parents. Your parents would all get gifts, and I suspect that even perfect strangers would get a gift from you using that card. Maybe even your favorite pastor. Or second favorite. Come on. Now, listen, can you imagine how lavishly and generously and excessively your Christmas shopping would be if you had that card? Now, as I mentioned earlier, the Bible teaches that there is a type of debt that is good. It's found in Romans chapter 13, verse 8, and it says, "Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another." Love is the only debt that we accumulate and we never pay off. So for our love debt, there is never going to be a debt-free scream. Anybody want to do that? I'm debt-free. I don't know if you're, if you, maybe you don't even know what I'm talking about. If you don't know Dave Ramsey, you probably don't. Listen, love is the only debt that we accumulate and never pay off. Well, love, there's one problem with this command to love others. Let me illustrate it like this. I'm running late to work, and I'm driving. Someone pulls out in front of me going 35 miles an hour. So I pull out my love card. I swipe my card, and then I smile at them as I pass them by. When I get to work, one of my coworkers has pulled their car into two slots, and the nearest parking spot is 50 yards away from the front door. Not a problem. I pull out my love card, swipe it, and then I give him a big smile and a friendly greeting when I see him in the office. No problem. I'm running late that morning to a meeting, a very important meeting, and I get a text from my wife asking me if I remember where the scissors are. No problem. Get out my phone. No, I do not know where they are. Smiley emoji, swipe. All day long, stress after stress after stress, I swipe and smile, swipe and smile, swipe and smile all day. Then something unexpected happens. I pull out my card and I swipe it, and it says insufficient funds. I've reached my love limit. I've exhausted my resources. My capacity to love is limited, and when my account is empty, I snap. Leave me alone. I don't have time for this. I can't believe that idiot. Now, what does it look like when your love card has reached its limit? Anybody want to admit that they kicked the dog? You kick the dog, you slam the doors, you lay on the horn. When your love card has reached the limit, what does it look like in your life? Now, I don't know about yours, but my love account is limited. However, God's love account is limitless. His love is patient and kind, humble and polite. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. His love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. God's love is inexhaustible. It is wider and higher and longer and deeper than we can possibly imagine. And the reason why we keep getting insufficient funds when we swipe our own card is because we're using the wrong card. We are not expected to pay our love debts using our own means. We are expected to pay them with God's divine love account. In Romans 5:5, Paul says, God's love has been poured into your hearts through the Holy Spirit. That's like saying that God's love has been deposited into your card, and you have access to it. God has given us the Holy Spirit and filled our hearts with His love. This means that we have access to His love card, and it means that we have no limits. The bill never comes due, and it's accepted everywhere. More places than Visa and MasterCard. Now, before we read the passage today, I want to remind you of the context of Romans chapter 13, where we're at today. In Romans chapter 12, Paul begins by pleading with Christians to give up their bodies. Let them be a holy and living sacrifice. In other words, give up your rights to yourself. Give up your rights to having your own way in everything. And then he explains how this is actually possible. He says, by letting God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. This is how you get access to God's love card. You have to be changed into a new person. Now, if you read Romans 12 and 13 with an unconverted heart, you will no doubt think that it's impossible to put this into practice. However, a life that is being transformed by the renewing of the mind will have confidence in God's ability to accomplish His good, pleasing, and perfect will in you and through you. He said, don't think of yourself better than you are. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Love others with a genuine affection. Bless those who persecute you, don't curse them. Never pay back evil with more evil. Never take revenge. Now notice, all of these commands are focused on our horizontal relationships. And recall that Jesus said the greatest commandment was to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And that the second commandment was just like it, to love others as ourselves. Love your neighbor as yourself. In our passage today, Paul continues to focus on our horizontal relationships. And he says, owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirements of God's law. Owe nothing to anyone. Now, this particular verse really is not specifically about not borrowing money, for example. A lot of people take it that way. In fact, there's a very famous preacher. His name was George Mueller. He's a British pastor. And at one time, over the course of his life, he took care of over 10,000 orphans in the 1800s. And he took this verse to mean never borrowing money, and he lived by it faithfully. He never borrowed money, and he never asked anyone except for God for money. Now, when he and his wife first started out, they had like a dozen kids that they were taking care of. And each night when they finished the evening meal, it would be the last scrap of food in the house. And at night they would go to bed and they would say, God, you have put these children in my care. They are your responsibility. I trust you to provide for them. And never once in 60 years did God fail to provide. Now people would, and what would happen, people would show up in the next morning early with either bags of groceries or money to provide for them food every single day. And at one point they had multiple houses with over 2,500 kids at once. Never borrowed money. They never asked for money. He always went to God in prayer. So clearly, God intended for George Mueller to apply this verse exactly like that. But Paul's intention in this particular statement wasn't that we should never borrow money, but that we should not continually be in financial debt to other people. And I think primarily because it damages the relationship, which goes against the command to love your neighbor. Next, if you love your neighbor and not just pretend to love them, but genuinely love them, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. So, I want to fulfill God's law. How do I do that? What is it? God's law comes from, in the context of Romans and Paul's teaching, the law comes from the Old Testament, the first half of your book, of the first half of your Bible. And the law is embodied in the Ten Commandments. The first four commandments have to do with your vertical relationship with God. You should have no other gods before me. You should make no idols, and so on. And the last six commands pertain to human relationships. And so Paul is saying, by loving your neighbor, you're naturally going to keep all the commandments. Think about it like this. If you were commissioned or contracted to build a 10-story building, if you were perfect and exceptional with floors number 5 through 10, doesn't it naturally follow that the first four were perfect as well? because you could never perfect the last six until you got the first four. So that's the nature of this. If you keep these commandments to love others as yourself, you'll keep the whole law. Paul affirmed this in Galatians chapter 5. He said, use your freedom to serve one another in love, for the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. And then in verse 9, Paul reminds us of four specific commands of the Ten Commands. He says, you must not commit adultery, murder, theft, or covet. And then he closes his argument saying that if you keep all these commands, you will do no wrong and you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. You will not commit adultery. The reason two people allow physical passion to sweep them away isn't that they love each other too much, but they love each other too little. Really loving someone, being concerned for their best interest, will restrain you from sinning, not justify it. You will not murder. Love never seeks to destroy and never seeks revenge. Love always forgives and always builds up. You will not steal. Love is more concerned about giving than taking. And you will not covet. Covetousness is an uncontrolled desire for something forbidden. And genuine love restrains our desires until the passion is diminished or gone. So if you love your neighbor, you will not sin against them. So your love for others is revealed in what you do and not what you say. In the same way, the true measure of your love for God is in what you do, not in what you say. For Jesus said, if you love me, obey me. Now, we were just talking about this in some study in the last few days. I can't remember who I was having this conversation with, but, you know, God wants you to obey him because you love him. Not because you're terrified or you've got some kind of fear, like, oh, if I make a mistake or if I do something wrong, God's going to punish me and it's going to be severe, it's going to be awful. God is not intimidating you into obeying him. He wants you to love him. And we obey him out of love, not out of obligation or out of intimidation. The question is, how is this humanly possible? How do I obey this command and love my neighbor in the way that God wants? Is it just a matter of trying harder? The answer is no. The bottom line is this. Love your neighbor as yourself isn't a matter of trying. It's a matter of dying. It means to stop relying on your own human capacity to love. This type of love is only possible if you've experienced it yourself. You've heard the saying that forgiven people forgive people. The same is true. People who are loved love others. We must abandon our self-reliance and yield to the Spirit and experience the Spirit reliance. See, only the Holy Spirit can enable holy actions. Only the Holy Spirit can allow you to love someone that is unlovable. Only the Holy Spirit can allow you when you're at your wit's end and your love card is expended. Only then can the Holy Spirit fill you and allow you to love someone, even though it is beyond your capacity. And only the Holy Spirit can produce, only a supernatural source can produce and empower a supernatural life. Remember what Paul said in Galatians 5. He said, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And there is no law against these things. This is what the Holy Spirit produces in me. Love, peace, joy, patience, kindness. Now, as we get ready to close, the elders are going to come forward and sit up front in case you have a need to pray or there's something on your heart you want to share, or if you're ready at the end of this message to give your life to Christ. I just want you to imagine what it would be like to carry around God's love card. What would it be like to carry around God's love card with you at all times? All day, every day, you get cut off. Swipe. Your husband says something hurtful and stupid. Swipe, 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 swipe. I'm just being honest here. The line at Casey's is 8 people deep, and the person at the counter is counting their pennies. Swipe. You show up to church and some visitor is sitting in your favorite pew. Swipe. Swipe and smile. Swipe and smile. Swipe and smile. And God's love card is never denied, never rejected, never has insufficient funds. Listen to Paul pray for you and for me in Ephesians 3. As he describes God's love card and the effect that it has on all of us. He says, and he prays, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. May you experience that. Now, doesn't God's love sound lavish and generous and excessive? Let me challenge you to keep God's capacity to love in the forefront of your mind, okay? I don't know if you can see this from here. I want you to find, like I have, find an old debit card, all right? Find an old debit card or credit card or library card, whatever the case might be. Find an old one. And use a marker and write God's love right across it, just like the one on the screen and just like the one I have here. And put this in your wallet or set it right there by your keys and keep it with you all week this week. And every time you go to pick up your keys, look at that card and remind yourself, I am filled with the Holy Spirit and I am a child of God. And my Father's account has no limits. Then spend lavishly and generously and excessively to everyone, every day, at all times. Now that would be a great gift for you to give everyone in your circle of influence, the perfect stranger, your parents, your children, your neighbor, your coworker. That's the perfect gift for Christmas this year. Grab a card, write God's love on it. Then I want to challenge you, number two is this. Send someone you know a text and say, what's in your wallet? Okay? Let's pray. What is in my wallet? And really, what is in my heart? Lord, I want to be reminded. I want to be reminded, and I pray that everyone here does too. I want to be reminded that it is your Holy Spirit, it is your love that has been poured into my heart that I am to use every day to bless my friends, my family, my coworkers. That's what's in my heart. I want to express it. I don't want to forget it for one second. As Doug said, we are deceitful above all things, the human heart. Who could understand it? But Lord, I pray that your spirit and your heart and your capacity to love is what shows through us. Will you speak to us and remind us every day that it is your love that we are spending and that we would spend it excessively and lavishly and generously to everyone in our circle of influence? Please help us, Lord, to apply this amazing truth. And not to rely on ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.